This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This is the Annie Fry Show.
What do you say to Vladimir Putin?
Well, look, he has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do.
Unedited, off script. Joe Biden.
First time I've heard that.
Oh, yeah, that was real. That happened.
I got a little nervous letting that much time of dead air happen, but I'm like, that it needs to stay. That needs to stay.
That was legit.
That I did not take out anything.
No.
That was legit. The time from the question being asked.
Wow.
Him kind of saying, and then all of the dead air.
I saw that live. It was cringeworthy.
Yikes.
Let's see what J.J. Carafano thinks about the leader of the free world and how he's doing these days. Joining us now on the Annie Fry Show, J.J. Carafano, at J.J. Carafano on Twitter, heritage.org as well. Jimmy, good afternoon. I speak to you all the time, don't I, throughout the week. So I'm hosting for Annie Fry today. It's great to talk to you.
I know. You know, it's like I'm doubly blessed because we've been waiting for this, and her baby is absolutely
yes.
Beautiful and gorgeous. And I'm just a tad behind. I've been a grandpa for 4 days now.
Whoa!
So we're a couple of days behind her, but we're trying to catch up.
Congratulations, Jim. That's fantastic news. That's
so
good stuff.
You want the good news or let me give you the good news first.
Okay.
Which is the dopey grandpa thing totally works, right? This, you know, I'm just, you know, nice old Joe Biden.
Yeah, Uncle
actually,
Joe.
We saw the latest polls. I mean, globally, America's more popular. You know, Biden has a lot to do with that. Domestically, is the same, I think, his personal ratings are still fairly high. And that's not the first time we've ever seen a president do that. You know, Eisenhower, you know, famously came to office kind of with the cardigan sweater and the kind of the folksy grandpa thing. And as the Cold War was heating up, he was really trying to calm America down by just having this kind of very, you know, fatherly image. The difference is behind the scenes, Eisenhower ruled with an iron hand and drove some of the most effective bipartisan policy in modern history. Nobody thinks Joe Biden is really running the supermarket cart going down the aisle. He is the little kid, you know, sitting in the basket, you know, with the steering wheel that thinks he's driving the cart, I think.
Yeah, I get it. I agree. Jim, I look at this as a huge missed opportunity, you know, and whether or not you totally agreed with Donald Trump's approach, I felt like he accomplished things at this summit. And I'm looking around, and I'm going, where's Biden? What's he doing? Is he saying anything? Are we doing anything? Maybe that's good. Maybe that's good because I look at what he's done with executive orders and trillions of dollars of spending, and that's all bad. So maybe we don't want him to do anything on the world stage. But on the other hand, do we want any of these other clowns running the show, running the circus? And Putin and Xi have got to be sitting around just grinning like Cheshire cats these days.
Well, I think these meetings are largely, you know, G7 and these other things are largely meaningless, and I'm not sure that the difference of the personality between Trump and Biden makes that much difference. What I do think makes a big difference is how they acted. I mean, we live in an age of great power competition. That's what these guys really look at. How do people use power? Not what they say, not what finger do they wave, you know, but what do they actually do? And I think people came away with Trump realizing that here was a president that was going to defend America's interests, and if you butted heads with him, he was going to butt back.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Biden, they sense a very disconnected, disengaged president who, despite all the fluffy talk about, you know, working with friends and allies and you know, speaking truth to adversaries, the reality is, I think, both our allies and our enemies came away from this week thinking, this is a guy that we can get over. How can we take advantage of him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jim Carafano, Heritage Foundation's Vice President for Foreign Policy and Security Policy. The one thing that they've said this week that I want to get your opinion on, because it involves COVID, it involves China. We're always talking about China. Do you think they'll actually work together? I mean, you're just saying, well, action is one thing, talk is another. But that was the one sort of headline that I'm like, well, will they push for that, or is that just more talk?
Well, I think that was actually one of the weakest moments. You know, essentially they said is, we want to press the WHO to investigate, and we want the Chinese to cooperate. So they literally endorse the two things that they know will never happen. That to me actually says they're not serious about actually confronting China.
Mm-hmm.
Because fairy dust, you know, and magical thinking does not move the world. You know, if on the other hand they wanted to really hurt the Chinese, and they all stood up and said, you know what? None of us think that it's a good idea to host the Olympics in a country that's in the middle of an ongoing genocide and unleashed a pandemic on the world. We all want to have the Olympics in a different place. That would have gotten China's attention.
Yes.
That would have shown leadership. But the fact that they did that, and that's an easy layup. The fact that they didn't know that shows that this is not. Look, when somebody says, we're thrilled to have you as part of the club, what the heck does that mean? It means, you know, this is just a bunch of good old boys talking and girls talking to themselves and not really interested in really asserting global leadership.
Jim, continuing to speak about China here, I find it fascinating that, you know, while Joe Biden's at the G7 summit, while Russia and China don't seem to have much respect for him, a lot of the quote conspiracy, well, things that the U.S. national legacy media labeled conspiracy theories during the pandemic, mainly just because Donald Trump talked about them or suggested them, are now being supported as fact or potential fact by some very smart and astute people like the former CDC director Redfield, who came out with breaking news today saying, you know, the Wuhan lab leak prognostication holds a lot of water and needs to be investigated, and the WHO should not be doing that. The Wuhan lab leak theory is to be trusted. The WHO is to not be trusted. And so we're now resetting the entire apple cart of this whole discussion. Finally, you know, maybe a few months too late.
Yeah, I mean, here's the dynamics. And again, these aren't partisan comments because, you know, I don't belong to a political party. I'm not a partisan guy. This is an observation of what's actually going on. What you just described is symptomatic of the whole litany of issues of the Trump years were literally the mainstream voices, whether they were in media or politics or punditry, were just wrong, either deliberately or because if Trump was for something, they were the opposite. But they mm-hmm. were consistently wrong on literally everything. Mm-hmm. Trump was not an anti-Semitic. He was not a racist. He was not colluding with Russia. He did not pressure the Georgians. He did not try to rig the elections. He did not inspire the January 6th. None of those things have factually turned out to be true. They were all wrong or just fabricated. These are the same people that, who have been covering Biden now on his trip to Europe and have been covering up for the vice president and her trip to the border, saying that this government's doing great. What a fresh breath of fresh air. They're not Donald Trump. I wonder if they are. And look what's actually going on in this country. My colleagues and I at Heritage just did a piece on this. It's in the Daily Signal. On all the top issues of the day, you know, everyone from Oprah Winfrey to The View to, you know, you name it, they're all spinning one narrative, And it's all it's a decidedly rigged pro-Biden narrative. But if you actually look what's going on today in all the big issues, Biden is on the opposite side of where Americans are. Border security, taxes, inflation, voter integrity, critical race theory. We can go down the list, and we listed like 12 major debates in America today where the Biden team says it's one thing, and no one is challenging them in this massive public sphere of echo chamber voices saying how great Grandpa Joe Biden is. But yet, if you look at where Americans are, they don't agree. And they know that this is wrong and it's bad for our country. That's what's going on in America today.
Yeah, Jim, I'm looking at at this list of 12. One of them that stuck out to me, it's not necessarily foreign policy related, but I did want to ask you about it, school choice. That's one that seems to be we talk about it a lot on this show, and you know, I think everybody's pretty excited about the direction the country seems to be moving, at least on the state level, with school choice. What is the argument against school choice? Like, if Biden and the administration's against it, why are they against that?
Well, you know what's really triggered, of course, conservatives have been, for school choice forever, but what's really triggered this in among mainstream Americans, it was COVID.
Yeah.
And the fact that kids had to learn from home, that the school system failed them, the unions didn't want to go back to work, and they suddenly realized that there are better ways to do this, because they turn around and look, private schools are back in session. Homeschooling is educating their kids. The only people that aren't getting educated are us that are stuck in public school. And the reality is this isn't a rich white people thing, because rich people, they go in where they need to go to get their kids educated. It's, everybody else in the country that's stuck in public schools. And so the simple idea of the money should follow the child, and the parents should invest in where they think their child can get their best education. That went from an idea that was popular among, moms in the Midwest on farms into becoming a national movement. And it's all because of COVID. And when you ask, well, what's the counter argument? Well, the counter argument is we have to throw money at something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people just aren't buying that anymore.
Absolutely. Jim, one last topic I want to get with you was the fact that, we haven't talked about, we talked about China and Russia, but the other problem Joe Biden has that he won't confront, or maybe that he wants to jump willy-nilly into, is Iranian deal part two. And would you just remind our audience, why any deal with Iran based around the contours of what Barack Obama had, which Joe Biden, I believe, was intimately involved with or supported at the very least, and appears to now be jumping headlong into, why it's such a bad idea, and why we should be running the other way from it?
Right. Well, there's two simple reasons. One is, it cannot stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, because the Iranians already have all the infrastructure and capability they need to build a nuclear weapon. Their decision to whether to go nuclear or not is a political decision. It's not an infrastructure decision. So the Iran deal is structured around the infrastructure. We've already crossed the bridge and we're down the highway. So we cannot stop the, you cannot do a deal that can stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, period. If you do a deal, all that's going to mean is you're going to funnel a bunch of cash into Iran that's going to enable the regime to do bad things in the region. So where's the upside here? And the answer is there is not an upside. There is no deal they can do that the Iranians would do that's going to make things better for the United States, our allies in the region, or even the Europeans. It's just that simple.
Yeah, period, the end. Well,
but if somebody would look at me and say, well, come on, Jim, you're a jerk. Obviously, seriously, Kurt, what is your problem? Because obviously there have to be good reasons for doing this. Otherwise, why would Biden do that? And yeah. I would say, okay, explain to me the border then. Explain to me what good things are going to happen with open border policies that are flooding this country and completely undermining our ability to protect ourselves, to keep the world from moving here. Explain to me, and they can't.
Yeah.
So can't look me in the face and say, well, there's got to be some reason, mm-hmm. otherwise they wouldn't do it. So because something that stupid.
Yeah, it's a broken, dysfunctional worldview. That's what it comes down to. It's a disaster. I don't know. We'll see if we can hang on to 2022 and beyond. Well, Grandpa Carafano, thanks for bringing more Carafanos into the world. your family.
Yeah, and you know what? The world needs him.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, my friend.
I completely agree. Jimmy, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
At JJ Carafano, heritage.org. He's fantastic. Hey, we're going to take a break here and we'll return. Happy to take your phone calls. I know it's very active YouTube feed. I think Facebook's been very active as well. Very active YouTube feed today, Katie. Yeah,
Facebook does not like us today for playing Roger Waters.
And it's my fault. Well, I was playing some things. I was taking a gamble.
Apparently, a lot of people have jumped over to the YouTube chat page because I'm scrolling through this, and it is quite extensive. You can join us on there, youtube.com, The Annie Fry Show. Just search that on YouTube. You'll find the channel. I guess use that today, right? Because Facebook doesn't like us today.
Yeah, Facebook doesn't like us, and it's actually just look up Annie Fry. So go ahead and look that up at YouTube, and you will be able to still chat, still see us, interact with one another, but hang out with us there until I get this Facebook situation figured out.
Yep. Everybody's hanging on YouTube today, and I see you all there. Thanks for being with us. We're here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.